Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
When we come into union with Christ, what happened to Christ is credited to have happened to us. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also were raised into a newness of life. So he says, now we should walk in the newness of life.
I will no longer die to what he died to. Because he died, I'm no longer in my sins. Because he died, I can never be sick. Because he died, I can never be poor. Because he died, I can never be under a curse. Because he died, I can never be a prey to the fowler. My soul has escaped. Through his blood,
step into the world of infinite possibilities as you listen to Pastor David Ifechukwu today.
All right. We're on a series, Taking Ownership of Your Success. Tell your neighbor, take ownership of your success. And we said what it means is the responsibilities of success. We have spoken and taught that God planned and designed a great future, a future of peace, a future of success and prosperity for us. But that future is only realized when we cooperate with God and take up responsibilities. So it's one thing for God to give grace. It's another thing for you to labor with that grace. It is the grace you walk with and you labor with that evidently shows up in your life. No one can wish a garden into what? Reality. If you desire a garden, God has given the soil. God has given the seeds. God has given the sunlight. God has given the rain. But you must take responsibility in having to plant one. So you don't just sit down and wish a garden into reality. So if you desire a better and a more successful life, you want a more successful future, you don't just sit down and be shouting only amen to prayers, be shouting only I receive to prophecies. You must not cooperate with that. You have to walk it out. Things don't just happen. What did I say? Again? So, what we taught us is that the journey to a more successful life only starts with a choice and a decision. What is that vital choice and decision you have to make? The decision to take personal responsibility, personal and absolute responsibility for your own success. The decision to succeed on your own terms. If there is still an unconscious or subconscious dependence on other people's goodwill, that's what we taught us the last time. You're still waiting for someone to favor you. There is a little dependence on other people's action, whether it's your government or your parents, or your relatives, your siblings, or even your church. If there is any slight dependence that somebody has to do something, somebody has to get something right for you to succeed, then know that you have not yet taken the first step to success. You have not taken the first step. The journey of success has not begun. The journey of success is a long journey. A decision and a choice you make to go alone. Along the path, there will be connections. Along the path, there will be favors. But it's not favors that If not that they happen, you won't succeed. So what we taught us is never surrender the power to succeed to anyone. And never surrender the power to succeed to any system. Why? It is proven that even the best system still produce failures. So because you're functioning in a place where the government is doing well, doesn't mean you're going to be successful. All the nations where they have very functional government, where they have very civilized and orderly system, where things work, at least to a great extent, when you get there, you're going to still see people who are failing, people who are homeless, true or not. So it's not the system. The best systems still produce failures. Why? Because success is a personal choice and a personal commitment. Help me turn to that person by your side and say, success is a personal choice and a personal commitment. So you must stop every form of blame that you give. Every blame game must end. All the excuses. There has to be a change of your mindset. Once I see someone who is explaining why things are not working, I just know he's not yet ready. Whenever I see somebody who is blaming how if people can help us, how if my relative would have helped us, how if, I just know the person is not yet ready. See, the truth is, no one else is responsible for your success but you. Can you talk to yourself? Put your hand on your chest and say, no one else is responsible for my success but me. Once you embrace this truth, you will see your life start moving at the rate of your own desire. It will be you that will be setting the date on your own success. It will be you. Once you embrace this truth. Now listen carefully. There will always be people that may influence your life. Positively, unfortunately, sometimes negatively. There will always be people that may inspire you. And unfortunately, there will also be people that will discourage you. It will always be there in life. But no one on earth can decide or determine your destiny. No one. So you should never give the power to succeed away and blame someone and say, because he did this, that's why I'm here. Because he didn't do this, that's why I'm here. My life would have been better if never get to that place. So you don't come up in life and begin to think that there is something someone has done or he didn't do. No. Maybe if only my father helped me. If only my rich uncle was there for me. It's not true. Now listen carefully. I want you to listen. You are the only one. Say with me, I'm the only one that can determine whether I'm going to live out my prophecies, whether I'm going to fulfill God's expected end for me. Say, I'm the only one that will determine whether I'm going to have a great future, whether I'm going to be known as one who left his mark on earth at the end. Say, I'm the only one. Now, are we trying to say that we underestimate the importance and the value of the right association? the right environment. No, those things are very important. When we start teaching you about the principles of success, we are going to talk to you about that. But the point is, they only make a huge difference when you're already on your way succeeding. No matter how people around you are successful, you are only going to be successful if you yourself have made a personal decision. That association can only influence you positively and amplify your success when you on your own are already on that journey. When you don't make that personal commitment and you don't dedicate yourself and commit yourself to personal success, no matter the help other people offer, it will never suffice. Did you get what I'm saying? Never be enough. So the right environment makes a huge difference. It does. But they only make success easier and they only enhance success. They don't begin success. Success must begin with you. So I can give 3 different people access to me and to pick my mind and know what I know and be mentored by me. And I give them 3 of them. In fact, I can decide that every time they come to see me, 3 of them should come. They hear the same words. They have the same opportunities. I can even decide to empower them financially and give them the same amount of money to go and start or to go and add to something that they are doing. And after 3 to 5 years, you will notice that they are not going to be in the same place. So the same mentorship, the same environment, the same access, but they won't get the same results. The difference is what they have decided themselves, the choices they have committed to themselves. If you see that person who is already on his way, moving on his own, requiring no aid or support, every little help you give to him just amplifies it. But if you see a sitting duck, the one who won't move, who feels like everybody has to help him, and who feels like everybody owes him something, no matter the help you give that person will never amount to anything. You have to understand this secret. Somebody say, I hear. Wave your hands if you're here. Say, I hear. So, whether by the mercies of God, you have great systems that support you, you have great associations around you, maybe by the virtue of the family you come from, or a relative that gives you access to important people, and it doesn't matter, or whether those kind of systems are far-fetched and you do not have that opportunity. You're coming from a very poor background. You went to the kind of school where everybody in your alma mater, all the people that are your old school association, are very mediocre and broke. It doesn't matter. You should never give up on your dreams. Never submit your future to external factors, no matter what. You may be coming from the poorest home. In the poorest community in your environment, you may not have even had the opportunity of having formal education the way you should. It doesn't matter. Anything external can stop you. If you believe in God, believe in yourself, and believe that you're going to have the life you desire and live your dreams, and you make that choice and you commit to it. Just don't make what was not made available to you your excuse. Everything you require, hear me, to become the man God created you to be and to live the life of your dreams is not on the outside, it's on the inside of you. There is nothing you need externally to be the man and the woman God created you to be. Not one thing externally. I'm going to show you. So help me hold your neighbor. If you know his or her name, I want to call him by his or her name. If you don't, make sure you introduce yourself. Say, Mr. David. Say, Mr. David. Hear the word of the Lord. Say, your future is in God's hands. And your future is in your hands. Say, God gives the grace. God releases the blessing. But you must take responsibility and build with God. Cooperate with his plan. Say, it's in your hands. It's your choice. Help me tell that person. Say, Mr. David, it may take much more time from where you are now. Tell him it may take longer than expected. It may mean you have to work more than required. But whatever it takes, go for it. And take ownership of your own success. Take responsibility for your own success. Did you get that? Give God praise. I just summarized everything that has to do with what we did. Now, there are major responsibilities of success. I'll give you first 7 of them. And I'm not going to teach or work on every one of them. I've been able to sometimes look at different things that can, you know, work together and lump them under a particular point. 7 responsibilities of success first. I'll give you, we may look at others later. Number 1, the responsibility of creating a preferred future. I thought it's God that creates my future. No, it's you that creates it. And many people don't know. And I'm going to use the word of God to prove this. My future is in God's hands. Yes, that's what we call predestination. He foreknew us and he predestined us. So he has carved it. I know the plans that I have for you. Plans of good, not of what? So God already planned it all out. He is the God that finishes the work before it begins, calls things that be not as though they were. So he creates that part, he ordains it. But it is my choice to cooperate with his plan. When it comes to that future God plan unfolding, it doesn't just unfold because I just make any, I just wake up, whatever, I'm just like a robot, a zombie, whatever just happens, whatever will be, nah, lie. Through my choices, I face the future that becomes the consequence. The choices I make affects my destiny. What did I say? One more time. For example, look at me. If you're walking with a very serious-minded man, and you're working with someone who is a very successful person, and the person is a wise person, be careful the choices you make. You may have moments of weakness, and there are times that you are frail, and that is true. Everyone, especially if the man is wise, a man knows that every human is frail. Jesus said he didn't need anyone to give him the testimony of man because he knew man. And every man is flawed. People make mistakes. And so wise men don't throw away very good workers, people that are partners with them, just because they made mistakes. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They give people opportunity to grow. They give people opportunity to learn from their mistakes and get better. They give people room. They extend the mercy and grace that was given to them to others. That's one thing. But you must be careful that you don't reveal that you cannot be trusted, especially when things get tough in your life. For example, I'm a man who is a student of the wisdom of God. The choices and decisions I make are never sentimental. I have my sentiments, obviously I do. And many times I have to deal with my sentiments because it's fighting with my, you know, knowledge of principles. Those principles I hold. And sometimes at the end of the day, I will say, no. Even though I feel this way, I'm going to act this way. Because I know that wisdom is profitable to direct, and wisdom is a defense. So when you violate principles, what you will later see? You want to live a safe life, secure, without fear of evil, live a wise life. So many years, the Lord would tell me, and I do it often, where I would take a whole month. One day, I'll read one chapter of the wisdom books. So if you have 31 chapters in Proverbs, one day in a month, I cover it. And I read one, and I will stay on it and study it. And I saw what God, for example, I've seen what God says concerning a man who is unfaithful. And what is like sending an unfaithful man. So you know what I do? When I notice you are not a faithful person and you can't be counted on, and especially when times get tough, I will never invest to build with you. I won't despise you. I will never despise you. I will never take away the opportunity that is due you. I'll never work against you. I'll walk in love. I'll honor you. But whenever I'm building anything and I'm picking the pillars, I'm investing. People I'm going to build a future with, you will never be counted. I never invest in unfaithful men. And so, there are people that might think pastor likes them. People that might think, and they are very gifted. No matter who you are and how gifted you are, I will pick a less gifted person who is faithful than pick a faithful man, a very gifted man who is unfaithful. I will even reduce the quality of what I'm doing because the person is less gifted, but he has a faithful spirit. Another thing I've learned, no matter how intelligent you are, and competent you are, and how gifted you are, if you lack character, I can't work with you. That's exactly the formula to raise a Lucifer. Lucifer is very gifted, but without character. What you're training is a wild animal that will end up after many years bite you back. Did you get what I said? Someone shout wisdom. So, when people make these choices, They do not know that these choices matter. You can imagine, to love is to know. It's impossible to claim to love what you don't know. So to love is to know. Before you claim you love someone, you must be patient enough and committed enough to knowing the person. And you must know the person in the spirit, and you must know the person in the flesh. Know the person exactly in his flaws, and know the person in his prophecies. What the Lord and what this person can become. Now, I want you to pay attention, because this is very important. Very, very important. Pay attention. So there are about 7 major tests that the scripture taught me, that when I want to know whether there is true love, if you come to me and tell me you love me, I pass you through those 7 major tests. If I begin to claim I love you, I pass myself through those 7 major tests. One of them is what we call the revelation test. You don't know a person yet until he's revealed. And there are 2 things that reveal people. Pain and pressure, when they are under pressure and under pain. When they are going through tough times. Number one, you know who they are. Number 2 is when they are prospering and things open up. Nobody knows you now until you make some good money. You will see yourself now. So I always wait for these 2 moments in people's lives. There are people you think they are humble now. Don't worry. There are people you think are with you now. Let them just get an offer of a big job. They'll pay them $3 million a month, you see. So I always wait for people at those moments. And I'm always observing. When you go through tough times, who you are. You see, tough times and difficulty affect people's hearts. So I'm watching for it. Some people snap. That's when they don't want to listen to anybody. They put off their phone. They do whatever. They snap. And suddenly, I just want to do something. Once you do that, I smile. It has consequences. It does have consequences. Prosperity gets to people's head. So, what the greatest strength you're going to learn from God is for God to protect your heart, not to grow weary, not to give up when times are tough, and for God to protect your head and keep you humble when things get easier. Pride doesn't come in. Keep me humble, Lord. Let me not esteem myself more highly than I should. Let me, keep me humble. Keep me connected to the root. Remind me how I started always. So that's how it works. So choices, the choices we make matter a lot. Tell you about the choices you make matter. Say there are consequences. How many of you get it? So I've given you how many responsibilities? How many have I given you? Okay. Number 2. The second responsibility of success is responsibility of growing and exercising your faith. The responsibility of growing and exercising your faith. I want to show you something. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12. I want to hold your neighbor. Now you've created a great future. You have a clear vision. You have a compelling dream. You see it clearly. You know what you want to be. It's clear. You've seen it. You've seen your future. Just like Moses sent 12 men, he picked leaders from every tribe. While they were still outside the promised land, he sent them, and it was God that commanded him to do so. And he said, go and spy out the land to see this land that we are going into. Is it good? So creating your future vision is like taking a peek at the future. You're seeing a glimpse of it, but it's clear. You go and spy into your future to see. 10 came back with evil reports. The giants are there. The land eats up people that go into it. We are not able. And the whole camp of Israel started crying. But 2 had a good report. So people can still create a future, but what it takes to obtain the future is one thing to see it, is another thing to seize it. Is one thing to dream it, is another thing to take delivery of it. In between what you dream and what you take delivery of is that thing called faith. There is a whole lot of faithing to do. Allow me to say it that way. People who see and who dream, who don't end up having, that's the second thing that they failed in. 2 came up and said the land is a land filled with milk, filled with honey. The fruits are wonderful, and we are able to take the land. He said the fear of us have fallen upon these men. They are going to be bread for our eating. You see? 12 people went to see. Only 2 people believed. Now let me tell you, if the Lord decides to show every one of us our future right now, there are people that their hearts and their minds will reject what they see, because it will be too big and too great for them to believe it. They will just reject it. So for every dream you have, there is a faith that must match up to it. There is a level of faith that must match up to it. Everybody who obtains the promise, everybody who achieves his dreams, understands the power of faith. So let's look at that scripture, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12. And read to your neighbor and read it out loud. 1, 2, go. I'm not hearing you. That you do not become what? But imitate those who through what? Faith and patience. So those who inherit their promise, those who fulfill their dreams, are men who understand the workings of faith. It can't be without faith. I'm going to take time to teach you these things, okay? 3. The responsibility of gaining wisdom. The responsibility of gaining wisdom. You can't just lie down like this in the presence of the Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. And wake up and be wise. That's not how it works. There is a responsibility of gaining wisdom. And it is impossible to succeed without wisdom. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 10. If your neighbor is still alert and awake, hold his hands I want you to read to your neighbor and read out loud. One, two, go. And one does not sharpen the edge. Then he must use what? What did I tell you the axe stands for? The tool of work. What's your greatest tool of work? Your mind, right? So it now shows you what sharpens your mind. What is that? Wisdom. But wisdom what? So it's not really hard work that brings success. Is working hard on the right things. Strategic, smart, hard work. Wisdom is what brings success. And what does that mean? When you increase in wisdom, what happens to your success? You increase in success. You become more successful. And it is our responsibility to gain wisdom and to keep growing in wisdom. Number four, there's fourth responsibility of success. It is the responsibility of driving growth. The responsibility of driving growth. You know, because of the way human beings grow, somehow it's possible that some people can be deceived into thinking that growth happens automatically. How many of you have ever noticed yourself grow physically? You were lying down one day and you just noticed your finger growing. It's extending. And your bones just crack, crack, crack. And you've added some in. By the time you finish stretching like this, only in cartoon. Right? Right? How many of you had that in your house where they will always go and measure your height? After a particular time, they will measure. How many of you saw it? Okay. Now, the point is, you sleep, you wake up. You sleep, you wake up. And you just notice your... And so, human beings grow up actually assuming that growth is automatic. Because you never saw yourself grow. So, it means that sometimes people expect that I was 1 year old, that was my height. By the time I became 3 years old, I grew. And then when I became 5 years old, what happened? I grew, I added my height. So people actually assume that just with time, things will grow. Give it time, it will grow. Nah, lie. Growth is never automatic. And growth is never accidental. What they didn't know is that for that thing to happen, that their mother was breastfeeding them. And they were nutrients that they were getting. And that they were being dewormed. And they had to go for certain immunization. And when they fell sick, that there were drugs giving them. And they had to keep them in clean environments. That there was actually a lot of work that goes on and went on for your own case, for you to grow. What will happen to a child that after the child was given birth to, the child is going, was kept somewhere that nobody knows. Nobody is feeding the child. Nobody is treating the child. Will that child grow? What will happen to that child? Listen, without intentionality, and intentional efforts, growth can never happen. So people feel like if I start a business, I should just give it some time, it will grow. If I start a company, if I give it some time, it will grow. It won't grow. If I'm a ministry and I'm serving the Lord, with time, it will grow. It won't grow. Things don't just grow. There are things that must be done intentionally. So everything you're doing that must grow, it's your responsibility to drive the growth of that thing. If it's not growing, you're failing in that responsibility. Whether it's personal transformation and you growing yourself, whether it is growing the work you do, growing the team you lead, growing your business, growing your finances, growing your family, nothing just happens. Number five, the responsibility of attaining excellence. The responsibility of attaining excellence. What is excellence? Attaining the highest quality possible for a thing and for that stage. Excellence is in stages and phases. Attaining the highest quality possible in a thing and for a stage, that's excellence. Being the best and being outstanding in what you do. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 29, do you see a man who excels in what he does? Do you see a man who excels in his work? That excellence, people don't just become the best because God created them. When it comes to excellence, talent is not enough. Being talented and being gifted has no role to play in the school of excellence. It's not about talent. It's not about talent. There are people who are less talented in a place that will excel in that same place more than those who are not talented. Actually, it was one of my brothers in the faith and in ministry that told me, he said, Pastor David, let me tell you my gift. He said, there are many people that can sing. Many people, I don't have any of those kind of gifts in ministry. He said, my own personal gift, even all these gifts of healings and all, people think I don't actually have. He said, God woke me up one day and told me. He said, I use the dedication and the hard work of the not so gifted to mock the laziness of the gifted. He said, I outwork everybody else. He said, Pastor David, I outwork everybody else. He was here. We invited him in 2017. I have seen it now in his life. He has outworked all of us, including me. In fact, the day he came to Oka to be with us, and we were just sitting down talking, this is how he talks. When you see him outside, he's always tired outside. Just a man of God. It's okay. When he enters the stage, he becomes another person. He said, my own is I pray. Since I notice God answers prayer, he said, we pray more than anybody else. So when God started using him in manners of how I saw it, I say I was with him in Abuja. That was last year. And we are talking. I said, man of God, well, God bless you. I said, we are cheering for you. God is using you mightily. I said, just the God, I know if he follow you for this kind of work. I said, I don't envy you at all. Let those who are envy me envy you. I know once God gave you grace for that one. I know. His work, oh, work, work. Do you see a man? And we were talking 2017. He was in church here. We hosted him in a program. Do you see a man who excels in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before unknown men. That's it. But that responsibility, God, some people just feel like, hey, God, just pick this one. That, anyway, it's just divine election. Many are called. So I was telling him, I said, man of God, do you know during that COVID that you started NSPPD? He said, do you know how many men of God God told to do that prayer? We know fit. It wasn't just him. Many things you see one person doing, that person wasn't the first person God asked to do it. Wave your hands if you're getting it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Somebody say excellence. But just know, until you attain excellence, you will still be in the land of mediocrity. And you'll be insignificant. If nobody is seeing you, if the crowd is not coming after you, if nobody is listening to you, it's because what you're offering is not excellent enough. You're overestimating the value of what you're offering. Go back and work on that thing. And then, number six, the responsibility of building wealth. You know, the series we finished before coming here is the 10 irrefutable laws of financial wealth. Do you remember? Do you remember? So I won't be talking about this one. I'll just give you a little thing. Let me see those who have been learning. All of you that attended that series, ten irrefutable laws of financial wealth. Wave your hands, let me see. Don't lie. All of you were not here. Church was full. Where are those who were here? What's law number one? The law of what? Nobody builds wealth accidentally. Who is he who intends to build a tower? So wealth starts with an intention to build. Nobody jams money. If you jam money, money will jam you out. You can come into some money, lottery, gambling, right? Favor, right? Somebody can just favor you. I want to help you, right? Different things, inheritance, is that true? There are different ways through which money can just come to you. And you can just come. But wealth is not coming into money. Somebody can fix you up. You have an uncle, you have a relative, you have a family friend, or even someone you don't know, by the stroke of God's favor, they will give you an employment and you're making money. That you're earning 5 million every month for the next 10 years will make you rich and will make you wealthy. It's not what you earn. Wealth is strategically and smartly built. It has principles you have to follow, and you must create a design and a system for it. Somebody say here. And the responsibility of building the wealth. God gives you power, you build the wealth. God doesn't build wealth for anybody. And what's the use of your first class if you don't have first class wealth? What's the use of your master if you're only mastering poverty? You have masters in what? What's the use of your doctorate? Someone said, money is not everything. Shut up. Stop lying to yourself. So why are you going to work? Why do you do the business you do? Money is not everything. Pastor, but is money everything? Every wise man knows that money is not everything. that the life of a man doesn't consist of his possessions. But every wealthy man never makes that nonsense statement. Because that statement is a justification and a permission to be poor. Every wealthy man understands the power of money and values that power of money and uses it well. Doesn't joke with it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Give God praise if you're hearing me. Who is here in church? How many have I given you? What's number one? What's number two? What's number three? What's number four? What's number five? What's number six? What's number seven? Number seven, the responsibility of boosting your influence. With affluence must come influence. The purpose of money is for impact. And every man's influence is measured by his what? Impact. And there are tangible impacts and what? Intangible impacts. There are direct and indirect impacts. What's the use of money without a name? I saw one of those proverbs. I may not say it exactly. I think it's a Chinese proverb. I may not say it exactly as he said. He said, if you want to be happy for a while, for a moment, take a nap. How many of you that when you sleep well, you're happy? Are you sure? You don't know how blessed you are if you can sleep when you want to sleep. Are you aware there are people that spend money to sleep? Are you aware there are people that the reason they go to hospital is that they can't sleep? If you can sleep well, give God praise for his blessing. So he said, if you want to be happy for a moment, take a nap. He said, if you want to be happy for a day, he said, do an exercise or go fishing. You know, their culture. Because I don't know how going fishing will make you happy in Nigeria. But I accept doing an exercise. How many of you have ever, you do morning walks or you do morning aerobics or a little exercise? It keeps you going for the day, right? Yes. Your blood will be pumping well, right? Your walking is as if there is a spring on your feet. Some people cannot relate. The only thing they know is fufu and bread. Now listen. But I said, if you want to be happy for a long time, it's a give. Impact people. And that's true. I heard one of the richest men in Nigeria talk about how he was making money and making money and never really, really felt happy or fulfilled with himself. Until one day he had a friend who invited him to escort him to something that he was doing. And this guy was helping a whole lot of people. He got wheelchairs for them. People who are disabled, he paid off different things. People who are in, you know, ICUs, trauma units in hospitals. He makes sure that there are different hospitals that when people are brought in, because they are in, they have accidents, they have, they say go and get money before they start treating them. He said, no, I have to provide money that let at least the initial treatment, at least until they regain consciousness or they are now able to even call people. So he makes that provision for people. And there were different things. And he sat down and saw his friend do these things. And then he decided to help. And he started giving to that. He said that was when he knew the joy of living. Giving is living. And you know, what we give is not just money. We give ourselves. We give our knowledge. We give a helping hand. We give care. We give empathy. Is that right? But whenever you give whatever blessing God has put on your life and use it to impact others, your influence grows. May the Lord, my God, strengthen you and enable you by his grace to keep growing in Jesus' name. God bless you.